Das Chazar sagt nicht, welche Chazar sagen, wenn wir hören, dass es geduschen darf, samach beis. Vielleicht nicht mehr, the Pasuk regarding the oath of the Saita is written as one-sided. It says, if you were not Mazan, and if you have not become Tamei to your husband, and he knock you, you'll be innocent. So according to Rabbi Chanina, this is good, but according to Rabbi Meir, the Torah should have said the other possibility as well. If you were Mazana, then this will happen to you. And for the Gemara, the word hinoki can be read as meaning you will be choked, hinoki, which means to say that there's another possibility that if you're Mazana, you'll be punished. So according to Rabbi Chanina, why does the Pasuk use this word of hinoki, which can teach like Rabbi Meir says? Why not use a clearer word? Meir says, we would think that if she was not Mazana, she'll be innocent, but if she was Mazana, she'll not be innocent, and will also not be punished, and it'll only be over an Isser. The Pasuk therefore uses the word to teach her she'll be punished if she was Mazana. The pasuk regarding the sprinkling of the paraduma asher says he shall be sprinkled with it on the third and the seventh day he shall become tar. The pasuk then says, and if he is not sprinkled on the third and seventh day, he will not become tar. According to Rami, this is understandable. You say both sides. According to Rami Chanina, why are you saying both sides? Mar said we would have thought that the mitzvah is to sprinkle on both days, but sprinkling on only one of the two days is enough to make the person tar. That's why the pasuk needs to teach that he will not become tar without sprinkling on both of these days. Why does another pasuk need to say that tar should sprinkle on the tomei on the third and the seventh day? Mar said based on the previous pasuk, we would have thought that the pasuk requires the third and the seventh day, meaning to exclude sprinkling on the second and the sixth days because the required 7 days are not yet passed. However, we would think that if he was sprinkled on the third day and the eighth day, he should become tar. It's okay, as long as the time passed. The Gemara says, the Pasuk therefore teaches that he will not become tar. Why does the Pasuk then say, V'chitoi b'yayim ha-shvi? The Gemara says, because we would think that sprinkling on 2 days is only needed to make someone tar for purposes of kadshim, or for purposes of truma, maybe sprinkling in 1 day is enough. The Pasuk therefore teaches that both days of sprinkling are required even for truma. Zuck, the next Mishnah, if a man was Mekadosh to a woman and said, I thought that she was a Kehenna, so she's actually a Levia, or vice versa. Or he says, I thought she was poor and she's actually wealthy, or vice versa. In all of these cases, the condition is valid because she did not mislead him into thinking one way or the other. Zuck, the Mishnah, Vaita, if a man is Mekadosh to a woman and tells her, become Mekadoshes to me after I convert, or after you convert, or after I am freed from slavery, or after you are free from slavery, or after your husband dies, or after your sister dies, or after your Yavam does Chalitza, in all these cases, the condition is not valid. The Mishnah ends off. Similarly, if someone tells his friend, if your wife gives birth to a girl, she should be Mekadeshes to me, the Kedushin is not valid. Zok the Gemara Mishnah says, the one may not take truma from detached produce for produce still attached to the ground. And if someone does, the truma is ineffective. Rasi, yes, Rabbi Yechanan, if a person says, let this detached produce be truma for this attached produce, or let the attached produce be truma for this detached produce, and in both cases, he then adds, and it should go into effect when the attached produce becomes detached, what talocha, Rabbi Yechanan said, any action that is in a person's power to do is not considered to be as if it's lacking, and therefore, since the owner of the produce can detach them, they're considered as detached, and the truma designation is therefore valid. Fact, in our Mishnah, the man says, after I convert, since it's in his power to be done, it should be considered as if it's already done, and the condition should be valid. And yet our Mishnah says, the condition is not valid. And for the Gemara, conversion is not considered to be in his power, because Rabbi Chiya Ba'arba, in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, said, conversion needs to be done in front of a bezin of three. Therefore, it's not in his power alone to get it done. He has to be able to find three people to sit as a bezin to do this for him. Rabbi Bamamal asked, based on this, if someone gives a pruta to his maidservant and tells her, be mekadeshes to me after I free you, it should be a valid kedushin since he has the power to free her. The Gemara says, this can't be compared to the case of Rabbi Yechanan. In the case of a maid, as a maidservant, she's like an animal in the sense that the kedushin has no application to her. And after she's freed, she's a new Jewish woman. Therefore, the kedushin that was given before can't help her after. Rabbi Shai has said that if someone gives a pruta to his wife and tells her, be mekadeshes to me after I divorce you, she's not mekadeshes. But according to Rabbi Yechanan, she should be mekadeshes, because he has the power to divorce her. And for the Gemara, even though it's in his power to divorce her, it's not within his power to be mekadesh her, because she has to agree. And therefore, it's not something that can be done in the current situation. In fact, Gemara, we should be able to answer a question of Rabbi Shaya. He asked, if a man gives a woman two prutas and says, be with one, be mekadesh to me now. And with the second one, be mekadesh to me after I divorce you from the first marriage, is the second condition valid? We should answer that it's not valid based on the answer we just gave above. And for the Gemara, this case is different. It may be that just as the condition can take effect now, the first condition, maybe also right now has the power to make it to take effect for the second kedushin later on as well. Therefore, it's different in this case. Zakhmar, there's a brisa that supports Rabbi Yechanan. The brisa says, one may not take truma from detached produce for produce still attached to the ground, and if one does so, the truma is ineffective. If a person says, let this detached produce be truma for the attached produce, or let this attached produce be truma for this detached produce, and in both cases, he then adds, it should go in effect when the attached produce becomes detached, the truma designation is valid. This is a proof to the view of Rabbi Yechanan. The mark brings the rest of the brisa. The brisa continues, Rabbi Yaakov says, the designation is effective even if the produce has not yet grown to a third of its size. and the person says the truma should go into effect when the produce grows to 1/3 of its size, and I then detach it, as long as he says that, even if right now it's not in 1/3 of its size, still it would take effect. Rabbi said, Rabbi Yosef Yaakov only allows this if the produce was mature enough to be used for animal feed at the time of this statement. Rabbi Yosef said he allows it even if the produce is at an earlier stage of development than that. Zoktimar, our Mishnah said, if someone tells his friend, if your wife gives birth to a girl, she should be Mekadesh. Just to me, the Kedushin is not valid. Rabbi Chanina explains this. Explains that this is only if the woman is not then pregnant. If she is, the Kedushin would be valid. Rabbi would explain that she must be pregnant to the point of being noticeably pregnant. Like over here, that has to be, he said before, it has to, the produce has to be at a later stage of development. Rabbi Yosef would hold that as long as she's pregnant, even if she's not noticeably pregnant, the Kedushin would still be valid. Like he says, an earlier stage of development by the produce is enough. Zoktimar, some say that Rabbi said, Rabbi Yezim Yaakov only allows this if the produce was mature enough to be used for animal feed and the produce can live on rainwater and no longer requires irrigation at the time of this statement. Rabbi Yosef said he allows this even if the produce is animal feed that must still be irrigated. So according to this, the statement of Chanina will have to be understood according to everybody who's referring to a woman who is noticeably pregnant, because everyone agrees it has to be that in the case of the produce, it must be at a later stage of development.